In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What do you mean?
11.
Friends don't lie.
Stop it! You're freaking her out!
She's freaking me out!
The upside down.
Do you understand what he's talking about?
No.
I found the chocolate bunny!
Oh God, please tell me it's not the kid.
I need you to hide!
Warnings are for coffee and contemplation.
Holy shit.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And Andy is not here, unfortunately, which is a tragedy because we love him so much. And today is a big, special day.
Super big.
We're talking to Cara Buono, who plays Karen Wheeler, but I didn't need to tell you that, on Stranger Things. And we're still a little bit like euphoric from it, I think. Wouldn't you say, Steve?
Absolutely. Like, I still can't believe she talked to us. It's so amazing. Like, someone of her esteem and talent was like, yeah, I'll talk to Stranger Things. Yeah,
it's like Sopranos, Mad Men.
Yeah. And then she casually dropped that she listens to the show and actually knew some stuff that we did. And I was like, what?
I immediately got horrified.
Yeah. Like, oh no.
But more than anything, she was so incredibly gracious.
Yes.
And sweet.
Yes.
And funny. And of course, like, you know, she's a very successful actor. Hollywood star.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be very, gracious and nice, but I still didn't expect like how easy it was to talk to her and how well that conversation flowed. And
yeah, within like 10 minutes of talking to her, it was almost like talking to someone we've known for forever.
You know,
it was just,
which
she was
kind of, we
easy
have
to talk to.
I've known Karen for a long time.
So long.
Yeah.
Since 2016
years.
At least. Yeah.
Just, I mean, old is almost as long as I've known you, Steve. And then I feel like I've known you forever.
That's true.
It's been me, you, and Karen for a long time, man.
Yeah. We roll deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Just Ted kind of a hanger on.
What'd I do?
But we had a great talk with her. I asked her as many questions that we could that you guys sent in and that you wanted to know, while still keeping it conversational, keeping it flowing. We tried to be very conscious of her time, which I assume is all booked up as well.
Mm-hmm.
We could have talked to her for a long time, but we promised we'd let her go. So that's what we did. So that's what's going on today on the show. As always, please, please, please do not hesitate to reach out to streamingthingspod@gmail.com. That's streamingthingspod@gmail.com with any kind of questions or movie recommendations or anything at all. Just reach out. We try to answer them as much as possible and read them on the show as much as possible. If you guys really enjoy those mailbags, we'll keep doing them because those are awesome for us. We love engaging with you folks.
Yeah, we love your stories. We love listening to you.
And also, please be aware, we have a Patreon. It's at patreon.com/streamingthings. You can subscribe at a variety of tiers and get different rewards and stuff like that. Please be aware that the $5 tier is where you get like the bonus episodes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Cause we've had a few questions of people. We created a $1 tier just for like, hey, if you just want to kind of throw us a bone, love what we do. That's kind of what that is, but mm-hmm. That's not how you get like the bonus episodes. So
yeah, the $1 tier only gets you the shout out at the end. We've had a couple people who are confused by that. So we just wanted to say that on the show.
They were like, fake news.
They think this is the satanic panic.
It's just a bunch of hysteria, Steve.
A bunch of hysteria.
So we just wanted to call attention to that. And you can follow us on Twitter at StreamThingPod for the show. And then me, Chris, personally at MoviesRTherapy. And Steve.
SteveMay13. That's where you can find me, baby.
Yep. Those are all those Twitter handles. You can follow me on TikTok as well at MoviesRTherapy. But we won't take up too much of your time. We know that you're here to listen to Kara.
The people are here to hear Kara. Mm-hmm.
And again, Andy had somewhere else to be. And he was mortified that he had to miss talking to Kara. So our hearts go out to him because I'm sure he would have moved mountains to be here. But he's a very responsible man.
And our hearts definitely go out to him for a revelation that will happen in this interview mm-hmm. that directly affects him specifically.
Yes.
So I look forward to everyone finding out that.
Look forward to that. And let's jump right in. We're so grateful again to Kara Buono for taking the time to talk to us. That was such a lovely chat. I couldn't have imagined how comfortable and easy it would be. And so without any further ado, let's listen to Kara Buono.
How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So my name is Chris.
I'm Steve. Yes.
And hi, Chris. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Andy, we have a third host. He's not here right now, and this is not our normal space, but just, I don't know if you've listened to the show at all, but Andy's not here. Yeah.
Taking a summer vacation.
Yeah. God love him. God love him. We're huge fans of yours and the show, and all of our listeners adore you and the show. So this is just something that's meant to be fun. Give them a little background.
Yeah. No, I love your podcast. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. So do you have listened to it?
I have. And also I listened to it before, you know, signing on. Sorry, I'm eating breakfast a little bit.
No, good, good.
I won't chew on.
Really no, weird. I don't imagine any of our listeners being like, she was chewing. Unsubscribe. I was rewatching season one. For the third time, I think. And I was struck by what a good mother that Karen was. And it's something that I hadn't noticed or hadn't paid attention to on previous watches. She's trying so hard to be close to Nancy and Mike and figure out what's going on with them. She has that motherly sense that something's going on. Probably no idea of what it could be, right? How could she? And everybody's kind of pushing her away, shutting her out. And it was actually really heartbreaking to watch. So what was your sense of Karen when you first took on the role and you were filming season one, and you were dealing with all of that?
I love thinking about season one, obviously, because that's when there was an intimacy to the show because we weren't out in the world yet. And it was just the story we had all signed on to do and we're so excited about. And I loved, the fact that Karen, yeah, she's, you know, she clearly is, wants to be a good mom, like loves her kids, obviously. And, you know, especially with both her kids, she tries to you know, even when Mike is sick, you know, and she keeps him home and she's, you know, very understanding. I love the sort of tenacity she has in her care for them. Right. And, that, you know, we joke later on about how clueless she is and she doesn't know what's been going on in her basement. There is that scene though, where she does sort of, we'll get to that later on, but where she does kind of look around and she goes downstairs and kind of, you know, snoops around and finds, I think, a hair or something that I haven't seen in a while, something. So I always thought that would lead her to more sleuthing about in the yes. future. But I always loved I think one of the things, particularly about season one, that appealed to a lot of the audience is that the relationships, not just among the kids, but among the grownups, as we say, you know, the parents, and that it was relatable. And desirable too, like to have a parent like that.
Absolutely. Like I said, I was watching it, you know, and I'm older now a little bit, like six, you know, what's it been, 6-7 years?
Something like that. Yeah.
It was 2016.
When we filmed it, it was 7 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
It's time has flown, flying. And so my son's, you know, he's 9 now. He was 2 at the time. And so my
daughter was 2 when I started the show also.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Wow. So my whole concept of parenthood has grown. And so I was really paying attention to the kids the first time and getting into the whole, you know, telepathy and all that stuff. But the third time I'm watching this, like, they need to be kinder to their parents. They're trying really hard, you know, and just how my own perspective has shifted. And you mentioned about Karen sleuthing, and kind of along that vein, a lot of the fans, when we asked for like, hey, what questions do you want to watch Kara? A lot of them were agreeing with my own thoughts in that, you know, it kind of looked like in season four, the Duffers were gearing up to involve the parents a lot more in the main plot, specifically Karen Wheeler. And then that didn't really pan out the way that we all hoped it would in season four. And how do you feel about that? And then do you think that you'll be a more central figure in the actual meat of the plot in season five, as far as maybe Karen finds out about some of the supernatural things? I know you can't say maybe a whole lot.
It's interesting. I know it's interesting, right? Because I think the original tagline for season four was "We're not in Hawkins anymore." Some of the like way back when yeah. they were first promoting it, when it was off air, I think when they would sometimes put out those teasers, like "We're not in Hawkins anymore," because you know they were in Russia and in California, and everyone was really, really spread out. And you know we never really know what's going to happen. We get an idea and then we get scripts and we find out what happens. And I mean, I think that's just something you have to ask the Duffers.
I wish. I tell them to text me.
Isn't that a terrible thing to say? I sometimes we know things and then sometimes we don't. And then sometimes things change. And
sure.
I mean, of course, I think I would love from particularly a character standpoint, for sure, of Karen really getting involved in some of the things that are happening in Hawkins. I think everyone's aware of what's going on now. Like, and I think one of the funniest scenes, my daughter and I were watching season four, and she just started watching this year because she was terrified, and still half the time she yeah. turned away and I could see her eyes. Like she's really scared. And she came to the premiere with me and I had her like in a headlock. Don't look. No, you can look. Don't look. At the end when they're watching the news on, you know, about Hawkins, and they're like, and Ted has a funny song, like, did you hear this? They're now saying it's a satanic cult. It's more, and I'm walking, I go, just what the town needs, more hysteria. And I didn't think much of that line when I said it because, you know, but in the context of watching that episode with the cars leaving the city, this town and the earthquake. And I just think, oh my God, Karen is like unflappable. It's like, yeah, just more hysteria in the city, in the town. Whereas like real shit's going down, more shit's going down. The two of them are just like propaganda and hysteria. Fell off our chairs laughing because it's so funny. You know, it's almost like, you know, is it a way of coping of sure. like severe denialism of like, nothing here to see kind of thing.
Yeah. I took it as like kind of a half satirical, you know, about how, you know, Americans in the Midwest, of which I am one, kind of interpret things like that. But also at the time on the show, you might've heard that's one of the lines from Ted that I actually really respected because he wasn't falling in line with the satanic panic.
Right. Right. He wasn't getting all caught up and they weren't getting all caught up in all of the,
yeah,
that aspect of it, like the satanic cult and the kids are terrible, you know, kind of like our kids are not, our kids are not bad. There are no bad kids in this town.
Yeah.
So that's like falling into the protective parent roles that they play.
Yes.
Well, how much of your portrayal of Karen Wheeler come, like what experiences in your life are you pulling from in order to play this wonderful mother that we all love on the show?
Oh, that's so nice. I think that, you know, I've played moms before I had a child, but I definitely, when you become a parent, it does change your experience because you viscerally know because it's happening in your life. Like you can, I think when I call down to Mike or dealing with my kids, the tone that comes out, I'm like, I have used that in my home.
You have your mom, you
know,
voice.
Said like three times, you know, did you brush your teeth? Come down. It's dinner time. It's dinner time, you know, and you find yourself falling into those patterns. You think you would never sound like, you're like, when I'm a parent, I am going to be this kind of parent. And I will never yell at my kids and I will never do this because I'm going to know how to do it. And then you're like, because I said so, because I'm your mother.
it's like this is just the quickest answer.
I mean, I started acting when I was a kid's age. Back when I was like 12, I was doing, you know, theater and little things. But, you know, back then in the 80s, there weren't as many opportunities for young actors as there are today. Mm-hmm. But I was still acting. So I've been acting a very long time, you know, up until now, and then like switching to more, you know, the mom roles. And I always wondered how I would feel having such a long career. And I just love working with young people. I am so energized by them. I love watching them work. I'm like mesmerized by their talent and maturity, and it's just fun. You know, I know sometimes there's like an old acting saying, like, never work with children or animals. There's like a saying in the business, and I guess,
sure,
I don't know. Typical.
We say that when we're filming stuff at the work, at my job, like I do a lot of video work, and that's a common thing that we always say, is like, no kids or animals.
Yeah. They're my favorite. Like, I'd rather work with kids and animals like all the time.
Yeah. They're great. And that's kind of cool that you feel that way, but, and you're on the show that features so many young stars, and you know, all of us collectively are watching them grow up into adults and become even better and better actors as they get older. Like this past season, Sadie Sink and Kayla McLachlan really kind of, you know, really kind of stepped up and showed how incredible they are.
Yeah.
But how do you feel like with this cast in particular? I assume you must be so proud of them and working with them and watching them grow like that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could see, I mean, Carmen Cuba, the casting director, is like a genius. She knows how to find these incredible young actors. And it's remarkable watching them. They're all uniquely talented. They're all incredibly professional. It really is. If you talk to any of us, we all talk about how we love working with each other. We love being around each other. It's delightful. And they are each, you know, they started out as terrific younger actors, mm-hmm, and are, you know, growing into these amazing adult actors. It's really like it's a beautiful thing to, you know, to watch and be, you know, part of as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's changed our lives. And we've always been fans, like, especially in the earlier seasons. I mean, we talked a lot about season two. Noah Schnapp was just, we were just like, in awe of the power of that performance from such a little person, you know?
It's right. Because he's so young too. I mean, if you think about how young they are, you know, Millie and Noah, and the physicality that they have to bring to the roles. Like when Will was, you know, trying to get the, you know, was it the thing, it's in his body, right?
Yeah.
And he's,
yeah,
like, oh, yeah. That's very hard to do.
Yeah. Explain that, you know, to a 9-year-old or whatever, you know, 12 year old.
That's a very hard thing to do as an adult, you know, and
he's
so convincing and so emotional, and it's, they make it look so easy, you know, and that's all those things are, you know, it's hard to just do simple scenes and then to throw in that, the physicality of it. And also I think acting afraid is very hard. Like I just did my first horror movie, like a camp horror, mm-hmm, movie,
yeah,
last year coming out. And I always think it's like to really portray terror and being afraid and make it convincing, I think is very challenging.
I bet. So like you feel safe, you're on set, you know, you just had a nice, mm-hmm, bottle of water and they say action and yeah. I'm supposed to be dehydrated, yeah, but I'm not. So, well, I was thinking when you were saying that, well, first off, you said that you had played a mother before you were a mother. And I immediately thought, yeah, that was, you were Bruce Banner's mother, right?
That's right. Was he my first? Oh, yes. In the one Hulk movie that is not the fan favorite of the Hulk movies. It was before and Marvel and DC were doing a lot of superhero movies. That was, and Ang Lee directed it, which was amazing, you know?
Ang Lee's incredible, and you were great. And that was a risk at the time because the MCU wasn't around, and he really went for it. Like, I remember watching that in theaters and the comic pages and the split screens, and he really tried to make it like a living, breathing comic book.
Yeah, I love the comic book aspect of that movie so much. Yeah, and I haven't done really big budget movies. I've always done a lot of TV and a lot of indies. And this was the first movie I'd done that was like budget, you know, like at the time, the biggest budget. So real trailers, really big, everything, you know, everything running with food and all these things.
There's things food? You guys get to eat?
You know, like craft service is not you know, a chocolate than a bowl of fruit. It's just, I love doing those things. That's kind of like what I love.
We've made a lot of indie films, and it's like, all right, guys, we got chips and some carrots, and you know, I get it.
Right, we're ordering pizza, and it's awesome and fun and everything. But you know, aside from that, I remember they said, "Oh, you don't have children?" And there was a birth scene, and I said, "No, I don't have a child." And they got a birth coach for me,
like Lamaze, that kind of stuff. Like,
no, more like, yeah, like, you know, we want. I remember that my first day of shooting, and it was like they had this, I don't know if it ended up in the movie actually, but it was like a Hulk baby. Incredibly realistic. It was like green and like little thing. It looked so realistic. Like, they told me how much it cost at the time.
How much money is that worth now? The Hulk baby on eBay.
The Hulk prop baby. And I was going to give birth. And I remember Aang came up to me. He's very quiet. And he goes, "So it's the Hulk. So more excruciating than a normal baby." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I'm just going to like pretend I'm getting ripped up."
This
child. And I remember doing a take, like screaming and, you know, pushing and whatever. And they were like, he said, "Wow, you don't need the birth coach. Tell me how to do it." But I think what you'll only thing you see in the movie is that it's like a quick cutaway to me screaming, but they don't show what we filmed, which was like the baby coming up. But
so after having that experience, what was easier, birthing Hulk baby or having actual children?
Yeah.
It was much harder birthing the Hulk baby.
I can imagine. Yeah. After you did that, it was easy peasy, as Bob movie would say.
When I went into labor, I was like, "This is nothing."
Don't you know who I am? I've given birth to the Hulk.
Yeah, come on. This is nothing. Well, so going back to the Stranger Things thing that I was talking about, I mean, my assessment of Karen's character is that, so Nancy's like the leader nowadays, right? She's like the Ripley. She's the sleuth. And you had a moment that we all loved. I think it was in season 2 when Karen talks to Nancy in the kitchen.
I think that's 3 about the newspaper position.
Yes, that's right. When she's encouraging her to follow that, and she's like, "You don't give up." And then, Nancy says, "Hey, I got that from you, right? It definitely wasn't Ted." And
right.
So it's always been my sense that Nancy gets all of that, you know, tough as nails, stubbornness, badassery from her mother. And so I would love to see that in action, right? In season 5, I would love to see Karen get involved and show us where Nancy got that from. You know what I mean? And I know you can't speak much on that other than, I just wanted to say that. I think it's there.
Well, I love what the writers did in that season with that scene, because, you know, they allowed the audience to sort of get a peek into some backstory of Karen, of, you know, what did she have going on? Maybe what did she give up? Clearly she's raising a family. And, you know, I always think, you know, Holly is about 10 years younger than Nancy. So you think she had 2 kids, and then later on baby Holly. So maybe she thought she was done, and then there's this baby, right?
Yes.
That kind of upends kind of maybe plans that she may have had, and that clearly, you know, and as an actor, you always invent your backstory so you can give, you know, create an inner life for yourself sometimes if there's not an opportunity to feature what you're going through, right? But you can imbue little moments with some subtext and context. So the audience can, you know, maybe talk about it or feel something else than just kind of moving the plot along. So I always try to do that with any role that I do, and, you know, imagining what her story was, and, you know, maybe if she got drunk in a bar with Hopper, you know, you talk a little, I mean, that'd be kind of cool, right? Like if someone were saying, you know, like what's, you know, yeah, remember, you know, when you were back and when you wanted to go to law school or this happened, you know, I always find that those scenes are very funny when you get to interesting, when you get to find out there's a character that you've grown with for several years and then you get some insight into their story. I personally love those. It's very satisfying. And it gives a kind of resolution to I think the whole of a story. I mean,
I think that's TV's strength over film, is that you get those opportunities to really explore certain characters that you definitely wouldn't in a 2-hour film.
Do you are you able to share with us any of the backstory you kind of have in your mind about Karen's backstory that maybe isn't on the page, but something you've kind of, it kind of fuels your motivations in scenes?
You know, I just came up with sort of like when she was born and when she went to school in the 60s, right? Like she had to have gone to college. I have the years all written down. So, and I think I never want to say it in case like the Duffers come up with something.
Oh, sure.
What?
I kind of was talking about this, but you know, and then maybe sometimes.
Plus you don't want to steal your ideas, you know?
Well, you know, if it's private, it remains private. You know, if something does come to light, then, you know, I'll go with that. But I often think that I always joke that she always is like drinking a glass of wine at the end of the day. I would always ask props for a glass of wine whenever I could. That was sort of a way to justify her inability to recognize what was going on or deal with some things so much. Like maybe she got like a little drunk to sort of dull her feelings of, you know, whatever she wanted, whatever we saw in the kitchen that day when, you know, the world tries to keep you down. And, you know, what she's intimating that clearly that something stopped her from doing something, right? Yeah. Something happened.
I think that Karen's character is so fascinating for that reason. And I don't know, the Duffers are probably aware, but I don't know for sure if they are, but how much the fans really love that stuff and really want to see more of it. Like when I announced that we were speaking to you and we got all these questions that we could ask from listeners, it was a flood of course, wanting to ask about the Karen and Billy dynamic. I mean, I don't know if they understood how much of a red, you know, red hot button that was for everybody. Like that was like, I don't care about magic anymore. What's okay. You know, now we have some drama and they love that stuff. And there's always been this implied and sometimes explicit statement of this is a loveless marriage that, you know, it's kind of a stay together for the kids thing. And I want to see more of that and explore Karen being freed from that.
Oh, thank you. Know, it's interesting. Thank you. I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, I see a lot of that on the internet and friends send me things on Reddit. And,
yes.
You know, I love here, of course, as an actor, you want to be like, thank you. I love that you respond to what I'm doing and you want to see more. Of course you want
yeah.
that, you know?
Nice. So, yeah.
And I do think like, as I, you know, from an, I do think.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Also, the reason this show is so successful is that they do explore not just the kids' relationships, like I said, but the younger audience is invested in the parents and, you know, the older, you know, there's a good mesh of the generations, which is why I think it's so appealing to such a, you know, huge audience, that the kids are interested in the parents and what's going on with them. And I remember when I heard about the Billy scene, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's so.
Yeah.
So
I had it down here to ask, like, when you got the season three script, what was your, like, I mean, that's so different from what they've been asking you to do. Right. So you were like, okay.
Yeah, I just kind of came out of, I was like, oh, well, so, let's be honest, like it's very flattering when someone thinks, oh, you look younger than your age. And that was really fun to play. And, you know, Dacre is such a phenomenal actor and so fun. I mean, it was just so much fun because it was like this little, almost like a little like a intermission in terms of like the show of like, oh, what is this scene? It's more like a standalone scene of what's going on. That was, it was fun. It was funny. It was fun. And it was like, what could happen here? I always joked in the first two seasons that Karen Wheeler doesn't leave the house except for funerals until to deliver casseroles. So it was nice in season three that she, you know, went to the pool and was a little without more.
she'd be swimming. We now know it's confirmed. And I read some older interviews, and I loved your dynamic with Dacre and all that stuff. And I read that if you could do anything, you wanted to do more comedic roles, you said, I've been told I'm funny. And and is that still how you feel? Like if you could do anything right now, and you probably could, something more along the lines of a comedy or just an out and out romp?
Yeah, I think that, I've done, in particularly when I was a little bit younger, but I would play a lot of, and I love it. I would play a lot of, actually like a lot of drug addicts. Like I played a couple of meth addicts. I got really skinny. A lot of like, alcohol, a lot of traumatized people. And I really love doing that and going to those emotional places.
Yeah. I mean, you're a grief counselor as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been trained to work with, survivors of sexual assault and mm-hmm. domestic violence. I did this training in college at this, organization in New York City, and we're on call from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. You take shifts. I take shifts when I'm in town.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's something I feel like I can do when I'm available, and I think volunteering with kids is difficult because you don't want to let a child down. I can't do this right here. I'm going away for 2 months, you know, right. So this was a good opportunity for me I've been doing it for a long time, but, I think most people don't, like, people who get to know me know I'm quite funny and, you know, pretty good with a, not necessarily a pun, but like, but my husband,
I've been known to spin a pun or two.
I just think it'd be, I would love to do like an ensemble comedy or something like that and just like have fun. Cause I love practical jokes on set. And I mean, I'm very professional. I get to work like, if I have to take myself to work, I get to work like 45 minutes before everybody. I like to get my own food. I like to, I'm super professional, but I love to joke and have fun. And either that, or I've always said this, I love sci-fi. Like I love Star Trek and I love The Mandalorian. I love all of that. And I really want to be like fighter pilot number three who goes down in a blaze. I don't care. Like I want to be like lining up, ready. And we're going, we're lining up, we're getting on our ships. And I'm like fixing the gears and the buttons. And like, I spend like 2 weeks with a green screen.
Yes.
I really would love to do that.
They even maybe even Stormtrooper. They wouldn't even know. Just put a helmet on.
No, I don't want to be a Stormtrooper.
No, Stormtrooper.
I want to be like going after a target and
just dying a blaze of glory.
I'll go down in a blaze of glory. Yeah, I don't care. I just want to fly that plane on a movie or a TV show. Mandalorian, bring me on.
It is now my personal mission to do everything in my power to try to get someone to get you into either Star Wars or Star Trek, because those are two of my favorite things in the world. And it's like, oh my gosh, yes, I would love that. Please.
Yeah.
Or even just in Stranger Things. I would love for the show to end with just Karen Wheeler
flying an X-wing,
just Top Gunning it in a jet and just.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Just to save Ted.
I do have like an idea that, you know, I definitely, and with, of course, I want her to like get in on the action for sure. But I always imagine, do you remember, have you seen Mitchell's versus the Machines?
Yes, oh, many times.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right?
I mean, yeah. even if you don't have kids, you got to see that movie. It's amazing. It's so funny. Like every 5 seconds is hilarious. And the animation is genius. I mean, like it is so brilliant. But I love the end, the mom. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, look at my cupcake. She's like the sweetest thing. And then all of a sudden they go after her
Somebody
son.
Somebody messes with her kid. Yep.
They make her into this badass ninja. And there's like bloody robots everywhere.
It's
like, don't fuck with my child.
Yes.
And I love that, how they turned her into that at the end. And
I do. I need at least one scene of that in season 5 of just Karen coming out of nowhere. And maybe Nancy's in peril or something.
I'm Karen Wheeler, mother of 3, and you will not mess with my children.
Yeah, absolutely. Easy. Ted's like, right? What'd I do? What'd I do?
That could be like a cheering moment. I could see the audience like being into that. Like,
oh, they would lose their minds.
Oh, that would be my Avengers Endgame portal moment for Stranger Things.
It would. On everybody, I don't know if you guys, I mean, I'm sure you know this, you're just being humble, but they crave Karen to be a central, coming up with absurd theories. I mean, I've got so many questions that I was like, I can't ask that.
Yeah, have you heard of the fan theory that Karen is Vecna's sister that was supposedly killed off?
Yes, someone just sent that to me, that they
think you are Alice Creel,
the girl, to me, and something I was wearing.
Well, they've got so much evidence.
I love the fans.
Like Karen Wheeler so has her own poster, her own character poster. Why'd she get one of those? It's because she's way more important than they're letting on. And I think it comes from a good place that they want that to be true, because you're doing such an amazing job and they care so much about the character. And I hope the Duffers realize that. Damn you Duffers.
These guys are great. They have, you know, they have a whole story, you know, planned out.
Oh yeah. We gush about their genius all the time. And I think Steven Spielberg gets a ton of credit for being among many things so good with child actors. And I think that as much as Stranger Things is an homage to a lot of Spielberg's work, that the Duffers can say the same thing. Like they just have done amazing. Like the child talent is, you know, to the moon, but you have to know how to get that from them, right? In a respectful, safe way. And they seem to be able to do that like no other.
Exactly. I mean, it's so hard to make, you know, you hire talented actors, but they're children. They're still children, in a way to communicate with them and get the best out of them. And I think, I think the Duffers have said this, they're kids, you know, they've kept that beautiful child, like quality to them, to, you know, playing and telling stories. And, you know, I've been acting for a long time. It's like, we know, and this is like, I love being on set. I love, you know, watching the Duffers direct the kids, and they get so much joy out of watching them be awesome. And it really, Sopranos was like a family. I always thought it was like one of the best experiences of my life. It really was like our big Italian family shooting a TV show. And I had amazing experiences, but this has really just been like, you know, just delightful, like in every way, watching everybody work and having fun. You know, we're so lucky.
And you can tell that. I think that's part of the reason. It all comes down to the characters and how much fun you guys are having. And then the whole world is like having fun with you. And we are so grateful for all that you do and for coming on here. I mean, we're just a little old podcast and we really appreciate that. And I can't believe you said you listened to it. I was like, oh no, what'd I say? I felt instantly like Ted. What'd I do?
How great is Joe Crest? I just want to say he
phenomenal.
He did a movie with Martin Scorsese this summer. Check it out. Like, I think he worked with Marty.
Did he really?
Movie coming out. Yeah.
Wow. Is he in Killers of the Flower Moon?
Being his PR person. Is that what it's called?
That's the new Scorsese movie coming out. Yeah. Is Ted in that?
That's great. That's awesome for him. Because he really, like, we give Ted the character so much shit on the show just because he's
a ton.
He's so funny. Right? But he's so perfect in that role. Like, he crushes it.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah. He's a great actor. Mm-hmm. He's not like that, obviously.
Yeah. Right. He's not just piddling around set eating stuff. All right. No, come over here. But no, we're so grateful. You've been amazing.
You know what I do miss though? You made me think of, like, in season one and a little bit in season two, I miss the family dinners.
Yeah. Like, so do we.
Nancy and Michael and baby Holly was there. And then one time, like, when Dustin came, right, weren't they over? Like, Dustin came over, or they were walking by. And I just like when they're all together, because those scenes to me were, like, so much fun to shoot and so much fun to watch.
Yes.
Everyone interacting, you know?
Yeah, we got tons of content out of that. I mean, we were just having such a blast. And even baby Holly, because she was so funny. Like, the scenes that they would capture of her just, like, chugging the drink. We had jokes about her being alcoholic. And I mean, it was a good time, because that's such a fun family. And it's so real, because I was born in 88. But, like, I had a family like that. And I know Andy did, because I grew up at his house a lot. And it's just how, you know, family. It was so accurate, as funny as it was. It wasn't, like, exaggerated at all, you know?
The kids were fighting at the table and kicking each other at the table, and, like, you know, it's just that kind of, you know, as opposed to some of the TV shows. And there's a place for that, where they're having, like, very heart-to-heart talks, and everyone's very articulate and things like that. And, like, the realism is, like, what, you know, we saw in season one, which was so much fun to film.
Yeah, those are some of our favorite moments. I think when, like, that moment in season three in the kitchen with Nancy and Karen, I think I remember Steve gushing about it for 10 minutes, but I think that was one of our favorite moments of the season. And it's those small character moments that I have full faith in the Duffers. I hope we don't lose that as the show gets, like, because we need the bombastic finale, right? But people really care about these people more than anything. And I think that's important. And we want to be really conscious of your time. We promised that we would be very conscious of that. We could talk to you for hours, but we're going to let you go. But we had a small request. We have as you might know, the weird shtick where we do the Mad Libs that our listeners love.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to do a Mad Lib for us?
Yes, if it comes out crazy, though, you guys will, like, delete it. But yeah,
yes,
I love
we
Mad
will.
Libs.
If it's just like
my daughter. All the time. And they, you know, of course, you know, when you do it with your 9-year-old, it's just toilet humor.
Yes. Well, that's how it is with 30-year-olds too, apparently.
Yeah. Sometimes not even on purpose. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kara. We are doing a story called Stranger Trivia, Stranger Things themed.
Trivia.
Is this going to be like a quiz of things that I remember?
No, all you got to do is come up with the random words.
I'm just going to give you...
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, okay.
Now, this story is structured as if it was a trivia game, but we're just going to fill in the words and then find out how silly it is afterwards.
And it takes me forever to think of a noun sometimes. So Steve edits this to where it's just you being real snappy with it, so don't worry.
Yeah.
So okay.
The first thing I need is a plural noun.
Cookies.
Cookies. That's a good one.
I'll tell you why, because, like, I have this Funko doll of... eating a cookie. That's what made me say.
That's what I literally just look at around the room every single time.
Adjective is what we need next.
Gloomy.
This one is person in the room. So it could be anybody. Could be
anybody.
Us. Could be we usually look at posters on our wall and name people on the posters.
Sometimes we say, like, Simon Pegg. He's not in the room with us. Spoiler alert.
How about Harry Styles?
Harry Styles.
I wish he was in the room.
I wish too. Noun.
Cavity.
Color.
Amethyst.
That is a great...
I thought that was my birthstone. It's not, it turns out.
It's
peridot. I was really sad.
When you find that out, you're
like... Yeah, my whole life's a lie.
All right, next up, I need a silly word.
Moochie moochie.
Moochie moochie. A number.
90,000.
I need a plural noun. Yep.
Crutches.
Crutches?
Mm-hmm.
I need another silly word.
La Lulila.
La Lula. All right.
You spelled that wrong, Steve.
Lula.
Adjective.
Astounding.
Noun.
Bronco.
Adjective.
Nauseous. That's an adjective, right? You feel nauseous?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nauseated?
Yeah, it can modify a noun to be a nauseated, maybe.
Nauseated.
Okay, let's do that. Nauseated.
Nauseous works too, but that means like that they're making other people vomit.
That's right. Nauseated.
Which might be true of whatever's going on. I think we have like two or three left.
We have five left.
Oh my goodness.
Noun.
Pizza.
Part of the body.
You always want to pick something weird. Amygdala.
Amygdala?
Amygdala. All right, it's in the part of the brain.
It's in the brain, Steve.
I don't have one of those.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Number?
17.
17. An exclamation.
Gadzooks.
Ooh, good one.
But after the comics, like an old school comic, Gadzooks. Yeah. Like from Batman, right?
Yeah, that's like, amazing.
Like Boom Bang Pow.
Boom Bang
Gadzooks.
And then lastly, I need an adjective.
Brave.
Oh, brave. Okay.
Like the Pixar movie.
Yeah.
We'll end on a high, an up note of words.
Yeah. Just be more positive.
Okay. Are you ready to listen to the story that you've helped us craft in the Mad Libs?
Yes.
All right. This is the Mad Libs titled Stranger Trivia. Think you're a Stranger Cookies Gloomy fan? Prove it. Number one, what kind of flowers did Eleven's mama, Harry Styles, see in her memories? Was it A, daisies, B, cavity flowers, or C, amethyst roses? Cavity flowers is horrifying. I'm just throwing that out there.
Horrifying.
Sure. Number two, after Eleven saved him from the Moochie Moochie and disappeared, Mike called 90,000 on his walkie-talkie for A, 12 days, B, 353 days, or C, 85 crutches.
Good question.
Number three, Susie Lalulila asked Dustin to serenade her with what song? Was it A, Astounding Birthday, B, Never Ending Bronco, or C, Twinkle Twinkle Nauseated Star? And number four, how many pumps of pizza spray did Steve use to style his amygdala? Was it A, 6, B, 4, or C, 17? If you answered B for each question, gadzooks, you really are a brave fan. And thus concludes our story.
Very well done.
The cavity flowers are horrifying. I can picture flowers with...
cavities,
you know, like Little Shop of Horrors coming out.
I was thinking it kind of sounds like a way to describe the Demogorgon, though, like a cavity flower.
Mm-hmm. Actually, cavity, that's 100%. Yes. Yeah.
So maybe I think we're on to something. If we were going to like zoologically classify the Demogorgon, it'd be cavity flower,
right?
Just throwing that out there.
I think that's actually quite appropriate.
100%.
You did it. You're a genius.
Do you have anything you would like to plug before we let you go? Like any upcoming projects you want listeners of the show to check out that you're in or be a part of?
Let's see. I had a show on Hulu that's already streaming. But, you know, it's still streaming. So there's a show called The Girl from Plainville.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hulu, and Elle Fanning is in it. And one of the things I think is important about it, it addresses like the toxicity of social media and bullying and things like that, you know, so that's kind of something that's out there.
That's definitely something that's up our listeners' alley, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I've got a few indies, but I don't have any dates on this. Like they're out, their dates coming.
Super
now,
secret
so.
Stuff. Yeah. Yes. Well, we'll be following you very closely as far as your next projects. We love what you do. And as we let you go, How do you feel about Heath bars, the candy bar? You for them or against them?
Heath bars.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Like, yeah.
There's an ongoing joke where at one episode and our other co-host got a Heath bar to get really excited for it.
And we make fun of him.
Fun of him. And so now it's an ongoing joke. Like, are you team Heath? And a lot of people will write in like, first of all, team Heath.
So, I remember now. Right. Heath bar. It's like he's really into Heath bars. Like that's his candy bar,
yeah,
right?
And it's a weird thing. Yeah, it's a very Ted of him to love Heath bars.
You can't really find them.
Thank God.
And they're that, I always feel like they're that candy bar and the Halloween candy. You're like, oh, damn.
Yeah, that's definitely the not the house to revisit next year. So there you go. Karen Wheeler, not Team Heath. Well, we loved having you on. You were amazing. You're so kind. Thank you so much. We support you in all that you do and wish you the world. And yeah, just so grateful that you took the time with us. We went a little over. We apologize for that, but we could have talked to you for hours. And
It's really a pleasure talking to you guys. Ask some really cool questions and are really knowledgeable. And, you know, it's always so fun to connect with the fans. And I genuinely mean that. This has been one of those shows that really allows me to, you know, if I run into people or get an opportunity to, you know, do a panel or something, I really enjoy it. It's like unlike any other show before. So
it's really fun. Everybody's been losing their minds to hear from you. So they're going to love this episode. And so we're really grateful for it. I'm sure they're going to be so grateful. Well, thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Look forward to more from you guys. Bye. Yeah,
bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow. Huge revelation. So we just found out that, which is really the point of the interview, what everybody pretty much already knew, that Karen Wheeler does not like Heath bars. And it took me a while to get to the hard hitting questions, that the real meat and potatoes, the stuff that people want to know. But now we know.
Now we know.
So, you know, all your fan theories on Reddit go out the window. She does not, in fact, enjoy Heath bars. Because I know I've been on the Reddit threads. That's pretty much all anybody's talking about.
That's what they're talking about. That's what the kids are doing.
But just wanted to pop in and thank Cara Buono yet again, just because I can't stop gushing at how easy that went and how fun that was. And so we're so grateful for that. I'm sure the listeners are very grateful for that. We're ecstatic that it happened. And thank you again to Cody for popping in and helping us to organize that.
Yeah, Cody, the real hero here.
He's a little an old hand at navigating Hollywood, see? And he knew the right channels, so greasing the right palm, see?
He's rubbing elbows with the stars and gals of the moving picture business.
That's right. And we appreciate that, because that was pretty easy, thanks to Cody. So we appreciate that. But all of our listeners, we love you so much. We hope that you enjoyed that. We hope that there is much more content like that to come. And look forward to our House of the Dragon episode dropping in a couple of days. Thanks again. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Chris, it's time to thank the patrons.
Woo!
These people made it possible.
I'm doing it spring break style. I don't know why.
Woo! I like that. I like the
energy. Jello shot!
We just talked to Cara Buono. It is like spring break for the pod.
Slip and slide. I don't know what happens at spring break.
No?
No, I've never been.
Oh, that's sad.
I just read books and watch movies.
You know what cool people have been to spring break? The patrons.
Yeah.
Like A. Wells, Double A, Aaron A, Double R, Aaron A, Aaron B, Aaron K, Aaron L, Adam C, Adam R, Amanda, Amelia, Andrew, Andy, Angela, Annie, and Annie H, RK Shenanigans, Ariana, and Ashley. Thank you guys for being you and being patrons. Spring break?
Woo!
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, Brittany S. Thank you, Cake.
Thank you, Cake.
Woo, Cake.
Cake on spring break.
Cake, what's that? Cake on the beach?
Cake on break?
What's that song? Cake on the beach? Cake on the ocean?
Oh, Cake by the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Thank you, Carlo, Carmelita, Casey M, Casey H, Katarina, Chloe, Cody, Cryptoholic. Thank you guys so much
for alliteration. Being
you. Danielle, David, thank you guys so much.
Alphabetical order.
E. Lopez, Emily, Enza, Erica, Irvin, thank you guys.
Are you guys partying, man? Oh my God, Argyle's here.
Dude, our guy would definitely partake in a spring break.
I do partake, man. I heard about Cake, too. I like to partake in Cake.
Don't we all?
Oh, that's a person. My bad. It's inappropriate, man.
What if Cake was like a tiny person?
Dude, what if Cake was like a person, man?
Well, Argyle, I've got good news.
What's up, my dude?
In this one specific instance, you're correct.
What do you mean, man? One.
Thank you, Gavin. Thank you, Glenn, Hannah, Heath. Thank you guys so much. Also, I'm so sorry, Heath, about the revelations you just heard on this.
Yeah, we don't mean anything by it. We're sure you're cool, man.
Thank you, Jocelyn, Jacob, Jade, Jake, Jared, Jeanette, AJ, Jenny, Jennifer, Jessica, Jimmy, Joel A, Joel D, John M, John R, Jordan, Josh, Jungle. Thank you, guys.
Those are all J's, man.
Thank you, Alicia.
I smoke J's.
Yes, you do, my dude. Yes, you do.
Purple sticky palm tree delight.
Thank you, Candace, Katharina, Kate, Katie, Kayla, Kelsey, Carrie, Kevin, Kiki, Kimberly, Kristen, and Kyle. Thank you guys so much for that.
Woo,
spring break. Lady Pris, thank you so much as always. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Royalty.
Doth the lady go on spring break? Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Lisa. Marcelina, let me know if I'm pronouncing that right. Thank you, Marcus, Mels, Michelle, Mike, Mindy, MJ, Monique. Thank you, guys. Nick, Orion, Paula, Phil, Reese, the Reed family. Robin, Rose, Samantha S, Sandra, Sandra A, Sarah F, Sarah P. Thank you guys so much. You look like
you're gonna, I'm looking at them Entenmann's mini donuts over there. Like, I'm going to get me one of them.
Oh, yeah. We're going to hit that. It's 11 a.m. where we are right now. So we're going to get them donuts. Thank you, Sean, Sergio, Shay, Stephanie, Stephen, the fifth. Tamara, I hope I'm pronouncing that right because you sent in an email. And I think that was what you directed me to do was Tamara. Tara, Toby, Thomas Shay, Thomas V, old Tyler.
Old Toby. Finally reading this out filing.
Will! And Zach.
Zach!
Thank you guys so much for being Patreon members and for some of you sending in questions to Kara. And as always, happy spring break.
I mean, yeah, happy spring break.
Woo!
Woo! When you showed me your phone, it took me a second to realize you were showing me that we were 5 minutes over. Because I was just like, time to do Duolingo lessons. Okay, buddy. I mean, I think you can push it back.
Like, man, I got to hop off. I got to learn my five words in Spanish for the day.
Shit, man, I gotta run.
That fucking Duolingo owl that is owl hardcore. Is
not gonna let me live this down.
No.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.